Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Lots of you lined up in the queue this morning, so we are going to be getting right to your calls. 310 is our first caller, and then 361, 347 follows, and finally 504 area code. And you'll all be getting a reading, so please do keep your place in the queue because it makes it easier for us to manage. So just know that we will be getting to your call shortly. If you're waiting, we invite you to join us here on Blog Talk Radio and on Facebook and on Twitter. Please follow us on our social media sites. You can find those sites via our Blog Talk Radio page. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number, and do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. If you have inquiries about further conversation, call 562-596-7818. Don't email. Call us at that number. And again, that number is listed on Facebook as well as on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, 310 is our first caller. Hi.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
My name's Janet.
Hi, Janet.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I was wondering. I just met someone that I'm getting to know, and I'm wondering what you might see with that.
Okay.
In relationship wise.
How did you meet?
We met online, but it's really slow and very open, so we'll see. I'm being very cautious.
Okay. Janet, what's your birth date?
6/9/67.
9/1967. Mm-hmm. Your master number is 9/36. And what do you happen to?
No.
Did I add that wrong? 15/25. I'm sorry, 38/11/2. Edition error.
Yeah,
okay. 38/11/2. And what do you know this person's birth date?
I don't know it. I wish I did.
Yeah, I wish you did too. That would be helpful. But you don't know. Do you know you don't know the person's age?
57.
He's 57. Okay. 2005. So if he's 57, I don't know if he's had a birthday this year.
And she is 67.
I'm 51. Almost 52.
51. So there may have been, going backwards in time, Janet, there may have been a change in your life. And it's harder to track when a person's compounded. What that means is when you add up all the numbers in the birth dates, you have to reduce twice. So 38 has to be reduced to 11 to the final master number, which is a single digit. And that's 2, your
right.
master number. But was there anything that happened around 2005 for you? Do you remember 2005 to 2006? Any kind of change? Maybe in relationship?
No, I started getting really sick then.
Really? Okay. So, but that was a change.
Yeah, and it was basically from the relationship I was in, I'll be honest.
So it was connected to a relationship. So you got
yeah.
really sick. From like a chronic illness?
A long time.
A chronic illness?
Yeah, chronic. Yeah. Yeah.
Like autoimmune type of thing or?
Yeah. Yep. Lupus.
Lupus. Okay. That's no fun. So sorry.
No. It's okay.
And
manage.
So the Was that the initial when lupus came on, or were you just having like a flare up because of the relationship?
And it had come on years before that, but that was all, that was like the start of just the peak, and then the end of that relationship started then.
I see. Okay, so she's 30. So as far as her, I'm just thinking if she's on a multiple of 38 and 11. I mean, she's
not really.
She's really not. I mean, your life goes in cycles of every 2 years and also every 11 years, but you don't happen to be on a multiple of 11 or even two, actually.
She's 13, which 6'7 is 6'13. She's 13 years beyond 38.
Have you met this person face to face, or is it just online still talking?
Just texting on the phone, online and then texting.
There's been no personal.
He's gone through stuff too, so we're both just really
cautious,
really gentle and slow right now. Yeah, both of us very cautious.
That's good. I mean, that's good.
Yeah.
Online is the best way to meet, but it sounds like you're being very careful, and it sounds like he's also taking the same approach.
Well, there's two things, Janet. Well, first of all, have you been divorced?
Yes.
Okay. And from that divorce, was there another relationship that felt very close and that one broke up too? So essentially you have one formal divorce and another one that was informal.
No.
Just one.
No, it's been the same one. We started dating when we were teenagers.
Okay, and is there a child involved? Any children?
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's five.
Five children. Okay, so five kids and a divorce. What's going to happen? You know, you're first of all, at right around now, starting really at the age of 49, but we're a little bit past that. But from that point, your connection to be in a relationship was restarting. Now, you didn't have anybody at 49 or 50 or 51.
No, but that was when I reconnected with myself and restarted that whole spiritual getting back to me. So
okay.
I woke up again.
Then that makes sense there. Now, since you started then, So 49 to 51 is 2 years, which is where you're at now. Your master number is two. So in sequence of karmic energy and numerical energy and whatnot, you're supposed to be in a relationship right now, 51. So it's appropriate. What I see is happening here is that probably if this progresses, there's going to be a physical encounter and a sexual encounter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question to you is, does he live within 100 miles or is it further away?
Yeah, he's about half an hour away.
Okay, so the answer is within 100 miles. He's about a half hour away. What state are you in?
Yeah, he used to work in this area.
Yeah.
He knows.
He's in California.
He's familiar with the area.
Are you in California? I mean, your area code suggests you are, but sometimes people live in different
Okay, so what's probably going to happen now? Let's use a psychic pencil, not a psychic pen. What's probably going to happen is you're going to have an encounter with him, and it will gradually lead into a sexual encounter. Because I think that there's caution, but there's also a need for that kind of contact. It's a human thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once the caution has been eliminated and there's some sense of assurance and trust, then, I mean, he's just not a hunter, you know, he's trying to find something. So once that happens, then there'll be a physical connection. And then from there, you know, it feels very much like a French love film where they're talking in French. It's a love film. Two people having a sexual encounter, and then the rest of the movie is like deep, intense conversations and trying to figure things out and moving forward in life. And it's one of those human observation movies. That's what I see with this guy. And I don't know why I'm getting French around you.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. They
sure
speak
why.
French,
because
either one of you.
We both kind of think deeper and aren't afraid to say it.
Well,
you
I don't
know
if
mean, like, speak it.
Well,
French,
have
I mean,
you
philosophy.
Ever, have you, do you watch, would you be a person that would ever watch a foreign film?
A what?
Foreign
I didn't
film.
Hear you, honestly. I was trying to look over.
Are you the kind of a person that would ever watch an art house film or a foreign film?
Maybe. In the relationship I was in.
I just wanted to know if you have a personal interest. Would you, I don't know, have you ever been to France? Is there any connection with you in France?
No, but he travels quite a bit.
He, yeah, that's,
okay.
It
okay.
could be him.
Let's not get hung up there. I think that it's going to become, if you're asking, can this psychically, well, it's not by destiny, but it's by
right.
choice. And it's by a certain karmic element that this is your time to be in a relationship. And this person has come up. And the vibration of this person is that there's probably going to be a sexual encounter. And then that will go deeper into a conversation of relationship and mm-hmm. and life and attitude. So it could become, you could get there. Now, you're going to find with him this complication. So as you get, the deeper you get with him, the more you realize how complex he is. And
okay.
that complexity can disrupt your sense of a natural flow of relationship. So you two, you know, you get together, you're sexual, you seem to be connecting, you're talking, you're having a good time. And then as you grow deeper into the relationship, you realize, boy, this guy's complex. He's got some issues. But
right.
they're more emotional issues, Janet. Like, wow, this guy's got it's not like he's got, you know, dating all these women or anything, but he's got these emotional issues that...
Like intimacy that prevent him from connecting or
maybe,
make him
yeah.
pull back and things like that.
You know, his childhood, you know, trusting relationships, how to grow... Some men and therefore women.
Yeah, I can
women.
See that already.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Some men and therefore women.
A little bit, just because I know his history.
Okay, yeah, he has a troubled history. Some men and therefore women, Janet, they really don't know how to go into the depth of a relationship. It's like somebody that can swim in the pool, but take them out and go deep sea diving, they're not
uh-huh.
trained. They can swim in a pool. They can even swim in the ocean. But deep sea diving, no. Maybe you, but I don't think he is able to do deep sea diving relationship. I think he'll try to attempt it, but he'll become overwhelmed. So he comes up for air, so he'll separate at times. And you'll wonder,
okay.
why is this guy separating? Because he has to learn how to be in a deep, intense relationship and trust it.
Mm-hmm.
See, and maybe mm-hmm. you feel the same way, but there might be more, you might be more adaptable to that kind of relationship because you want it, you're eager for it. He may want
mm-hmm.
to be for it, but he doesn't have the kind of breath you do. So you can dive down 50 feet and he can do 30. And
mm-hmm.
then there's trouble. For that 20 feet, if I'm making sense to you symbolically.
No, you
are. It'd be interesting to get his birth date too. So if you obtain that, which you probably will at a later date, give us a call back and, you know.
I will.
Far,
thank you
so
for
far,
the input. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But so far it's a go. It's a green light. But you're going to find, like in driving, after you cross a green light, that doesn't mean that the road ahead is going to be all great. It just means it's a green light.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what's going to happen. And someone is fixing a car, or someone has something to do with a car. And I don't know if you can immediately identify something with a car.
We're looking for another car right now.
Okay. So that's our validation. What do you mean, we?
For my daughter, I have to
okay.
come up with a car. So I'm trying to manifest that right now.
okay. Well,
so that's it.
That's it.
So that did she
yeah.
probably doesn't know what a validation is. So the reason that came in is to confirm that the advice given during the short time that we've talked has been accurate. And so that validation
we'll
connect with. So, yeah, go forward and call us again.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. And Janet can follow us on Facebook, and we hope that she does. 562-596-7818 is the number for more conversation. 914-338-0164 is the number to call on today's show. All right, we have caller from 361 area code. Hello.
Hi there. My name is Linda, and I'm from Texas.
Hi, Linda, from Texas.
Hi. I would really very much appreciate some spiritual input as to whether or not I should have surgery on my right knee or whether I can repair the discomfort that my right knee is experiencing through alternative methods.
Okay. Well, I mean, the first thing we want to say, well, we want to ask you what the spelling of your name is. Is it Linda with an I or a Y?
It's a Y.
It's a why. And the second thing is we're not doctors, so we have to preface any input we're going to give about medical issues with that first.
I understand totally.
Yeah, so we can't, you know, we're not doctors. We can't give medical advice. What's your birth date, Linda?
2/27/54.
I just turned 65. Oh, well, yes. A month or two ago, 65 years old, and we're adding you up here, 11, 21. She's a 30 equals 3. Okay. And what, just give us a little backstory on the knee.
Well, I fell through a deck 16 years ago, and I've had problems with my right knee ever since. I've been using a variety of energy modalities to keep me from having surgery, but I
so you've never had
am needing
surgery
more.
Have you had surgery on the knee at all?
No.
Never?
Oh. Never.
Gosh, that must have been very traumatic. So you were 39 years old? Is that right? No. When that occurred? 16 years ago would have been, 49.
That sounds about right.
Just shot of 16 cycles of the master member, and it happened 16 years ago.
No.
And so you've been trying alternative methods to heal this leg, this knee.
Yes.
Is the doctor saying, you know, we should, you know, you're getting older, this could become problematic, we need surgery? Is that what is the doctor saying?
Well, I had surgery on my shoulder a year ago. And at the time that I was being x-rayed, I did ask them to x-ray my knee, which they did do, and said that I had arthritis in the knee.
You have arthritis in the knee.
That's what I was told at the time of the x-ray.
So for the knee, generally, I mean, for arthritis, I don't know how common surgery is for arthritis, but is there anything else structurally wrong with the knee that would demand a surgery?
That didn't come up in the conversation.
So why are they suggesting surgery? What is surgery going to do?
Well, I feel like I've explored so many emotional core beliefs that may be a trigger behind the knee, and I've done a lot of emotional clearing, and that has been extremely beneficial on many levels, but I don't have the relief in the knee that I'm looking for. And I guess basically what I'm asking is, do I continue on the path that I've been going on, or do I need to look into something more invasive?
Yeah. Well, before we go there, Linda, what would surgery do to alleviate arthritis?
I'm sorry. Well, what would surgery do?
Yeah. What would surgery do to alleviate your arthritis? What's the theory behind that?
I don't know. I am going to make an appointment to see a doctor and have a more thorough examination and see from a medical point of view what he recommends.
Right, because I think that a doctor's appointment is a good idea. I mean, the x-ray, when you had it last, revealed arthritis. But arthritis
right.
is not typically treated by surgery. I mean,
exactly.
Non-steroidal, anti-inflammatory, you know, if you're looking at a Western approach, you know, things like Advil or ibuprofen on prescription strength, or, you know, do you wear a brace or you use ice? I mean, those are the things that are typically involved in arthritis. Of course, there are strong, and this is obviously probably not like, you know, it's a osteoarthritis situation that you have, not rheumatoid arthritis, right? So, you know, then there are arthritis medications, stronger medications for arthritic conditions that go beyond the anti-inflammatories. But I don't think a surgery would be the next step.
Well, you know, what you're asking is the matter of medical, concrete medical intervention or some kind of spiritual astral intervention on the leg, which is combined with, you know, therapy or or whatever it is that help to alleviate the arthritic pain by kind of orthopedic methods or massage methods. But what you're talking about on a deeper level is that this accident, and maybe even the one with your shoulder, has prompted you to make a division between the concrete energy of life and the spiritual, mystical energy of life. So if you've come into the planet to experience the mysticism of life, spiritual aspects of life, and you haven't quite gone deep enough, and you're relying on alternative methods to cure your leg, but at the same time, there's something deeper in a mystical way that you're supposed to explore,
That is why I've held off for that purpose altogether. Is to see whether there is something metaphysically that I haven't connected with or connected the dots with that when I do would release everything.
Yes. Now, in our psychic opinion, we're not doctors.
Yes.
In our psychic opinion, we can give opinions and psychic opinions. I think that's the way to go.
Okay. And that's basically what I was looking for. That's the answer I was looking for. I didn't want to continue to waste any more time. I mean, that's why I've been on this path alternatively and spiritually, and I just wanted another opinion, I should continue.
Well, yeah, you have to find a deeper spiritual entrance into your body that is combined with alternative methods that will bring out a different molecular kind of activity in your body. And by vibrational, there's a thing called vibrational medicine. Read that book.
Okay.
It's called vibrational medicine.
I don't know the author.
I forget who.
It's upstairs.
It's upstairs, but it's called vibrational medicine. It's by an MD, a doctor. Take a look at that book. Because I think that might be your answer.
Right, because Western modalities can be fused with alternative methods. You can find some kind of balance between the two. I mean, the fact is, Linda, that you did fall. I mean, there's an injury. So there's something on a physical level there, even if there is some karmic content to the reason that you fell or why this manifested in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a dual approach.
And Linda,
is
did you have a parent, like for instance, a mother that was profoundly religious, like a Catholic or something?
No, my parents, neither one of them was very religious or spiritual. Although they insisted that we be, which was kind of hypocritical, but.
Okay, and in what way did they insist on you?
Well, we were required to go to catechism and church.
Yeah, I felt you. I felt there was I relay voices to religion, but maybe in this particular reading, Catholicism came in. I have no idea. I was just feeling the energy. So that tells me that there's a doorway to vibrational information.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I get vibrational information from you and at least and configure that there's a Catholicism episode going on, then we combine that with the deeper analysis of vibrational medicine. Read that book, Vibrational Medicine. It's by an MD, a doctor. And just take a look at it and use those methods, because I think there's something that you have not discovered yet on your spiritual path that will have an end result of nurturing and healing your body. Because I think there's some deeper karmic elements going on in your life that even brought about the accident to begin with.
And it probably connected to whatever was imposed on her religiously by her parents. I mean, obviously, that's
uh-huh.
why it came in. So,
well, that sounds like a wonderful heads up, and it will give me an area that I can focus on. And thank you so much for the recommendation of the book. I will definitely look into that.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you. Thank you both. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Let's take 347-504, and then we have 201. Hi, 347.
Hi. Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. This is Tanika.
Hi. I thought that might be you. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Doing all right, Tanika. What new?
Just, well, with my current job, I'm wondering if I should leave it and go to an offer I got at a current hospital in my area. I would be leaving a full-time job to go to part-time. The hospital is a job that a lot of people want to get a job at, so I'm really flattered by the offer of the position with that, but I'm worried about going from full-time to part-time. I know that it could turn into full-time, but I'm just kind of like, I don't want to hurt myself by leaving where
right.
I am to a part-time job. And then also, just wondering if you guys pick up anything about Frank and I. He works at my current job. I think I spoke to you guys about him before. And
yeah,
we,
I'm
so,
going to ask about him.
Yeah. Well,
go ahead.
We still, I stopped the relationship, so now it's like, if I don't say hi to him or something or approach him first, like, he doesn't say anything. Like, I don't know what's going on with him. I know I still have feelings for him, but I really don't know what he feels or what the outcome will be, especially even if I leave or stay or whatever. I don't know what's
okay.
going on with him.
Okay. Well, would you be giving up health benefits, Tanika,
No, I have I haven't enrolled in the company's health benefits yet. I have other through a different way.
So you're getting health benefits a different way. You're not
yeah.
And so you would retain your health benefits if you changed. How much of is this a pay raise in this other position at the hospital?
It would be a pay raise, but it would just
Less hours.
Yeah.
So
it's
like
after taxes.
Go ahead.
I'm happy about the pay raise, but it seems like if I get a little bit of hours after taxes, then it wouldn't be that much money.
Where are you working now?
She's in a doctor's office. And she left a previous job. You were in an urgent care center, right?
Mm-hmm.
Previous to this, and you were having problems with employees.
Well, are you happy where you're at?
Where I am, it's kind of toxic, and then there's Frank, you know, my feelings for him. So it's like a lot of drama
forget
there.
Frank right now. Forget about Frank. Right now, let's focus on career. I'm not in this reading, I'm not concerned
not,
about
okay. Not, well, I'm 50-50 about it. Like 50-50. Because sometimes it's really bad days. And then there's like maybe two good days out of like five bad days.
Do you make good pay there?
It's decent because it's decent. Like, it helps me pay my bills.
I wish I could get paid more. Quick questions. How long have you been working there?
Since last August is when I transferred there.
About a year? And
yeah.
Is there any room for advancement there? Is it just sort of stagnant where you're at?
It's stagnant. I was thinking of even asking them about a raise, but I don't know if they would even do that because they just seem like they keep you there and you just become kind of furniture around the office.
So you're talking about working at a hospital.
What?
A totally different setting.
I mean, same but different.
A lot. Right.
But
medical,
you know, the
but
likely the history of working part time in a hospital and going to full time if you're capable is pretty secure. In fact, hospitals are going to pressure you to work overtime if they can. I mean, they can be stingy and there can be problems there.
What would you be doing in the hospital exactly? I don't know. I missed
floating.
That.
I would be doing clerical like I'm doing now, just floating in different departments to start.
So you would be used in areas where they need to fill in or whatever.
Is this a huge hospital?
Yeah.
Like over 300 beds?
Yes, it's called Huntington Hospital, yes. That's the place I had my surgery at.
No, it's in New York. But real quick, is this the kind of work do you want to stay in the clerical field for the rest, in the medical clerical field for the rest of your work life?
No.
I mean, what are your goals?
I would like to work with children or animals, like something to do with healing.
Okay. So I think here's my opinion. Chris can give her opinion. My opinion is to go to the hospital. Where you're at is sort of narrow. It's rigid. It's not offering you spectacular things. It seems to be conservative. There's confinement and advancement, and you're not going anywhere. You're in a small structure. In a hospital, there's a far range of opportunities. You can be moved around. They have you part time now because they want to test you out. They want to see how you feel. But I'm sure the hospital, if they like you, they're going to have you full time. And then from
or
there,
find a position, because obviously the position she's going to is not going to be at full time unless they can use her in all these different areas.
And if you're talking about working with animals or kids or whatever, you need to be, you got to get qualified unless you want to do some kind of, strange psychic work on them or something.
Yeah.
But you have to be qualified, and you're leading more towards a qualified, medically induced kind of energy that, where you're not going to be, waving your hands over people's bodies. You could, but it seems to me, here's my premise. Go to the hospital. It will probably expand. It might give you an opportunity to further your career, or your ambitions. And then from there, in that broader environment, which ultimately will probably lead into full-time work, you'll go to the next stage. I mean, your master number is one. Things change rapidly with you. And so that's my opinion.
So,
Kristen, give her.
Yeah, well, would you be interested at all in the medical field, not in the clerical end, but like nursing, pediatric nursing, anything like that?
Yeah, I think I would, yes.
Well, I mean,
go
ahead.
I like the idea of healing people, like helping people too. Is it when people are sick, I think I hold on to the energy a lot because I'm really sensitive, but I think I would, yes.
Well, the idea that you're going to be part-time and have more flexible hours, or the hours more, like you're going to work in the evening sometimes, the daytimes other times, is that how it would work in this position?
It would be evening. It would be 3 to 11 p.m., which I'm kind of worried about too because I don't have a car and I wouldn't really have help to get home at that time of the night.
So it's structured. It's structured in the hours, but it's just not structured in what department you're going to be in, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you don't know how you're going to get home. I don't know.
Well, Tanika, then stay where you're at.
I mean,
saying, if you're going to try to advance in life and you keep transportation as an obstacle.
Right.
My
thought, Tanika, really about the hours and the fact that 3 to 11, that gives you more time to pursue maybe an education because you're not getting any younger. I mean, you're 40, going to be 41 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
41 years old. I mean, if you want to get into a higher field of a career, you need to get on it, like, as soon as possible. So the fact that you're advancing and being offered this position is very encouraging. But I would encourage you also to you know, further your education.
Have they've offered her the job?
You've been offered the job? Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, if you're interested in healing, if you want to be, you know, more formal, I would say it's a more medical side than a psychic healing. I mean, that's going to get you more money. Can you pick up some classes? I mean, move forward to getting your license as a nurse or something like that. You could work with children in that regard.
For a person like you, for individually speaking, for a person like you, here's the question. Are you happy where you're at, content, and is your outlook such that you could be there until you retire?
That's what I asked.
No, not for me.
Then you got to go.
Then you got to change. But how much, do you have any units at all? Do you have an AA degree, anything?
Yeah, I'm a pharmacy technician.
You're a pharmacy tech. So you've already got, you've got education in the medical field. You've got to figure out what you want to do beyond just doing this clerical work, and figure out what units will apply from what you already have to seeking a higher degree. And I guess, you know, you can either ask for a raise and stay at this other job, but you're not going to really be able to do anything extra probably unless you go to night school. I mean, those are your options.
Right.
And regarding Frank, as I recall, the advice about Frank was stay away from him. There's better relationship out there for you. So, I mean, staying at the job, leaving the job because of a guy, I mean, not you don't want to make a decision contingent on what your feelings are for him, either negative or positive. So,
Right.
Real quick, do you want to give us feedback? We've got two other callers we're going to get to in just a moment, but do you want to, you know, respond to what we've said here?
Well, I'm going to definitely consider the hospital because I do want to advance in life. And I guess with him, I mean, I guess I'll just see how he responds if I do leave, but I don't think he's going to do anything. He just acts like I'm a stranger or something now. I don't know how he could act like that, but that's how he's acting.
Yeah, but I think initially when you mentioned him and there was the thing with the neck, didn't he have a condition in something in his neck or throat area that Neil picked up on? And you confirmed that. Go ahead.
He had like a little bump on his neck.
Yeah. So that was a validation in that reading that was supporting the idea that this is probably not a healthy relationship to go into, but obviously you decided to explore it anyway, and now it's not, you know, not a good situation. So I would you need to think about your career and your education right now. Probably not about a relationship.
Okay.
All right. Well, let us know what you decide to do, okay?
Okay, I will.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye. Okay, 504 is our next caller. Hello.
Hi, it's Mary Lou from New Orleans. How are you?
Hi, Mary Lou. How are you?
I'm good. I would like any message from Spirit.
Okay, what's your birthday again? She's 23/5, I think.
10/22/62.
22/62. 23/5,
yeah, right.
Okay. Well, at least I got something
right.
Just kidding. All right. Well, you want to give her a message from Spirit, Neil?
Message from Spirit. Yeah.
Spirit wants me to know.
Okay, Mary Lou, here's the symbolism of the message from Spirit. The symbolism is an image. It's an image of a painting. The painting consists of a blue sky with white cumulus clouds, those big white fluffy clouds. There seems to be a little boy and a little girl towards the bottom of the canvas near the banks of a shore or a river or an ocean, and they seem to be playing like with pails or shovels. There's something to do with a childhood. It's almost like a childhood image of a painting that's very beautifully depicted, but it has a kind of Robert Louis Stevenson kind of feel to it, or Andrew Wyeth or something. Maybe not Andrew Wyeth, but there's a famous painter that used to illustrate books that were like children's books, the classics, the children's illustrated classics, they were called. And they were books with glossy, and it would be a text, and then there'd be a glossy picture with a painting on it depicting something in the storyline. And I don't know, there's something to do with that. I don't know if it's where you're supposed to reach back into your childhood, if you have a sibling, if it's something to do with art or nature.
Well, she's a photographer.
Oh, you're a photographer?
Yeah, you're not realizing.
I don't remember. Yeah. So you're a photographer. So do you ever photograph children? Or?
No, not really. Mostly
she has
business.
Children now.
You have children, Mary Lou?
Yes.
Do you have any remembrance or memory of being by a water area as a child?
We lived in the mid-Atlantic. I'm from West Virginia, so it's not like we're near the ocean or anything.
There's
lakes and creeks.
Okay. And was there any, in terms of photography, did you ever have an interest in art?
I started as an artist.
Okay.
Drawing
so you're
painting.
Okay. So the image that we're getting from the spirit world is to go back to that time when you were starting as an illustrator, an artist, and a painter, because there's something there that you need to pick up again in your current travel. So you need to go back there and pick up some missing piece that you left there in your past. Pick it up in your memory. The piece that seems pertinent to you, bring it to the present moment and then go forward. Was there any loss at that time, anything traumatic, anything you went through that stopped your course of life for a moment?
No.
What does that time suggest to you?
Childhood?
When you were painting?
Growing up?
Well, I remember, my memory is so acute. I remember on the last call, there was something that came up about bullying around the age of maybe 10 to 12 years old. Am I remembering correctly? I think I am.
Yeah, there might have been some bullying in my younger years.
Well, do you have any paintings that you still own that you did back in those years?
No.
I don't know, Mary Lou. The I can only tell you of the image that I'm getting, and it has something to do with that time zone, and it does resonate because you did paint in your earlier years, and I wasn't acutely aware of that at the moment. So something back there, and you're saying there was no loss. Any grandmothers cross over or anything like that?
No, my grandfather died when I was like 13 or so, but
was he
had nowhere near water.
Don't worry about the water right now. Were you close to your grandfather? Any recollection?
Yes, close to him. And I did see his funeral a couple of days before it happened, and then he died suddenly and surprisingly.
Oh. Okay. So the message, as we move forward, the message that we're getting, the vibrational information we're getting, is coming from your grandfather.
Okay.
So your grandfather's trying to vibrationally speaking, your grandfather's trying to touch something about you. And 13 is a rite of passage. So there's something there that you would need to, on your own, look at. And do you have photographs at that time of your grandfather?
No. I think I was younger than 13. I was like in grade school, like sixth or seventh grade.
Sixth or seventh grade is around 13. So it doesn't matter. Don't worry about the age right now. I'm responding to your answers. So don't worry about that. We're getting off track. The information is coming from your grandfather. Do you have any photographs of your grandfather?
No.
Huh. Then what you need to do from this reading is make a concerted effort to reach your grandfather. Think about him before you go to bed. Talk to him in midair, you know, just in your life. Act like he's there. Relay a certain memory you have about him. The message seems to be coming from him. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you that that's who's knocking at your door.
Okay.
Okay, Mary Lou. And in throughout your entire life, whether it was remote or close, did you ever know anybody named Ben or Benjamin? Or
I have a nephew-in-law by the name of Ben.
Okay, so that remote, and I said whether it was remote or not, it's still within the family structure, however, in-law. And so that's another clarity that your grandfather is attempting to reach you. I don't know what. We don't have time to get into that. That's a deeper conversation. I don't know what he's trying to say, but that's what's going to come through in response to your question.
Okay. Can I ask you a question about you all?
What's that?
I haven't read your bio on the page recently, and I read it, and I thought it was pretty cool that you said that you were twin souls. And I thought it was, so my question is, most people would refer to that as twin flames. And I was curious why you called it twin souls. Is that because it's healthier?
Well, I think the term, I mean, the original term, I don't know how twin flames ever came out to be a term, because it really is twin souls, because of the origin of the soul, the fact that it was one soul that split, you know, before it descended onto the earth.
Yeah, I don't go by twin flame, because the flame has nothing to do. The flame is just a decorative word, but it doesn't really concretely connect to anything. The flame in the body would be more or less the
third chakra.
You could call it the second chakra, it's sexual, the third chakra, it's stomach. You could even say the flames in the sixth chakra for inspiration. It doesn't matter. The twin flame is meaningless. I don't care what, I've been doing this for over 50 years. And twin flame is just a colorful, decorative word. The deeper meaning is twin soul. When you have a twin soul, that means that your souls have been united before in a past life. When it becomes a twin soul, it becomes intensely united.
Wait, you mean twin soul does not mean past life unity? That's
well, the soul is connected to past life.
Right, the soul is connected to past life.
There's two forms of a twin soul. One is through the history of the world that you've been a soulmate with
a soulmate.
Person.
That's
a soulmate.
The term.
And then the other one is that the spirit of the human being, two human beings have been united in the astral realm, so that when they come back to the planet, their astral spirits are now tucked inside of their souls, which gives them the added emphasis of being a twin soul, because the twin really resonates to the spirit, but the twin spirit in the astral realm. So imagine two spirits in the astral realm being united, and they come back to the earth for whatever reason, and now they have their soul is active, because the soul is connected to still earthly energies, and then they have this twin soul. And usually twin souls, they don't just come back to have a good time, a milkshake. They come back to do something very deep, meaningful.
And on a spiritual
level.
Not just even, for instance, someone in a specific career together, Laurel and Hardy, for instance. It's a higher...
I understand, but anyone can call to themselves with another person, oh, that's my twin soul. So what? Call yourself that. But the real meaning behind it, the real definition behind it is much deeper than that, Mary Lou. So that's the difference. And I never use the word twin flame because I don't even know what that means. I mean, I know what it means, but it's meaningless. A twin flame.
Well, they tend to say that when life was created, when the world of duality started, that our souls split from masculine to feminine, and that this is a journey of combining it and ascending, and that people come together at this time to do spiritual work and also to help with the ascension and together ascend. But what I thought was great about you saying twin souls as opposed to twin flame, the twin flame relationship, there tends to be a runner and a chaser, and there tends to be discord, and it's a journey that makes your life a living hell.
And
through the anguish, you ascend because you learn how to become more spiritual as you're banging your head against the wall.
That's kind of a mythological. I mean, a true twin soul or twin flame relationship is not going to be a relationship of discord. It's a relationship that has a higher vibrational element. So when we see people talking about having a twin soul and, it's an abusive relationship and one's a drug addict and chasing the other, that has nothing to do with twin soul. Much more common is a karmic.
Discord could be like you met the love of your life and they're married to somebody else.
Yeah, but that's not a twin soul relationship. Your twin soul relationship it's not. And I mean the commonality of a twin soul relationship is, I mean, it's not a common relationship. We wrote an article several years ago, which is an excerpt from our book, Mary Lou. I don't know if you've read it, but it really does give some good information about the true nature of twin soul relationships that is different than what's currently being discussed on, whatever Facebook or whatever other websites you find that information on. But you should take a look at it.
Okay.
But
is there a place where you can find it?
It's on our Neil and Kristen Baker page. You're our friend on Facebook. It's on there.
Yeah.
And
also
it's on Facebook. I'll text it to you. I'll email you and send you a copy of the article.
And you're on the right track, Mary Lou, about the contrast and the battle of the sexes, and they got split up, and that can be deemed in all kinds of literature.
Yeah, I mean, Garden of Eden.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But now we take a different chapter, Twin Soul, and we have a different conception that it's not so much contrasting as what happens when the union is made and the two souls go forth on the planet for a higher cause.
Right, and the vibration is supposed to be a vibrational match, not a duality. I mean, it's a union between two, rather than the opposites.
And it's nice to find a soulmate. That's different, and to experience life with a soulmate, and you're just totally in love until the day you die, and you do everything together. Those are soulmates, but twin soul is a special quality, and So I hope that kind of clarifies things for you.
One quick other thing, Mary Lou, people mm-hmm. will say often too, oh, you know, I'm with my twin soul and this is the only lifetime we've shared together because everybody, we don't have karma together. That's not true either. Twin souls will have past lives. So there's a karmic content to twin soul relationship as well as the higher astral content. But were you going to say something?
I was, but I was listening intently and lost it. I do appreciate us having this conversation because I don't usually hear it go in this direction. So what you're saying is something different. So I'm glad I asked the question.
And, yeah, thanks for asking.
And I do believe that twin souls have past lives together, and they don't obviously get together in every lifetime. That they work through stuff and like progress along the path.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept. It's an interesting concept, you know. We're writing a book, and a great deal of it will be dealing with twin soul, the codes that go on with when the twin soul relationship is very deep. And so there's a correspondence of the birth dates and numbers and all kinds of things with the codes.
And apparently with the runner chaser thing, it's a vibrational match that they keep coming together, but for some reason they're not in sync enough to actually take it to the next level. So there's this push, pull, push, pull, push, pull, push, pull. And I think that just sounds like it's total insanity until you watch somebody do it and you wonder why would anybody do that? And it's
because it's
a vibrational match of sorts. It's weird.
Well, I think that karma can, I mean, and we're going to take 201 in just a moment. Karma can bring, create a chemistry or a pull, a magnetism between two people. So often the runner chaser thing is due to past life karmic relationship, but not necessarily a twin soul relationship. But I'm gonna email you the article.
Okay, that would be great. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Mary Lou. Okay, bye. And bye. Okay. It's Gunjan. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Neil?
Fine. I've been thinking about you.
Yeah, we have been.
Yeah.
Really? I hope it's
yeah. Well, wondering what's going on.
Well, everything is good. I'm working, and my kids are healthy, and my husband's good. So everything is good. But I want to have another baby, and it's a no-go with my husband.
What? Say that again?
I want to have another baby, but my husband doesn't want to.
Right. You mentioned this to us like about 6 months ago or so, 7 months ago.
Yeah, and I can't let this go.
Well, there has to be a deeper... Why does your husband not want a baby? Because it's too much responsibility or what?
Yeah, too much work.
Uh-huh. Okay, so that's a domestic confrontation that you could have a need for another child, and if it's destiny bound, which I'm not determined to come up with yet, mm-hmm. you're going to have that baby no matter what. If it's not destiny bound and it falls into the category of making a choice, then it's going to have to be worked out between you and your husband in terms of an agreement or a compromise or some form of energy. Go ahead.
I mean, you told me this last time, but I just want not 50-50. I want some kind of answer, psychically, some kind of answer that says you may or you may not, you know? Even though, I mean, you know, it's not definite, you know?
Well, that's the problem. I mean, finding a psychic answer whether this is or isn't going to happen, it's difficult because there's the conflict between you and your husband about what you want. And so there has to be some kind of meeting of you know, your ideas.
You know, it's weird, Gunja. Not everything is so predestined that even the best psychics can come up with the answer. Some things are, there's unknown variables sometimes even in the psychic world, and pure omniscience is hard to attain. So in those mysteries of life where we have choices, there's sometimes unknown variables that can be influenced by energy and whatnot. There are all kinds of different things you can put into the situation to help enhance the possibilities that you're desiring. But sometimes it's lost in shadow. I mean, we have light and dark, and sometimes things are lost in shadow. They're there, but you can't see them. So, the element of you having this compelling need to have a child is significant. Your husband's reluctance goes into his psyche. If it's purely surface, you know, it's too much work, I'm going to have to work harder, we need to make more money. You know, all of these practical reasons are on one shelf, but there's two shelves, which is a decision that the two of you have to make in your soul. Can you bring a third child into your family? And is it a soul you want to bring into the earth no matter what? You want to bring this human being here, and you want to magically make this human being appear through the element of, you know, it giving birth. So it goes into a deeper element. Your husband, you go deeper than your husband. I don't want to claim your husband's thinking, but your husband is not really, as I understand it, not prone for psychic stuff and spirit. Your husband's more traditional, and you actualize yourself in a deeper element. So you may be picking something that you have to convince your husband of, but it's through love and understanding and patience.
How old's your husband? What year is he born?
76.
So he's 5 years older than you. You're going to be 38. He's in his early 40s, and that's probably, you know, part of it too for him. He's in his 40s. Yeah. He wants to enjoy being, you know, middle aged.
If you want a psychic impression, I think you're going to be able to convince him. If you want me to give a guess, I'm going to guess. You, how old are you right now?
I'm 37.
My guess is you're going to have a third child. That's my guess.
She's going to be 38.
It's a psychic, quote, guess. I'm guessing. Because I'm going on a vague vibrational feel for it. So that's what I think is going to happen. But I know, you know, I peeked into your Facebook, and it seems like you've gone to Disneyland. Your brother's taking you. It seems like you're having a good time. I saw your kids with, see, I'm watching you. I'm following you. Your kids with the face painting. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
You've been on my mind. Did you like Disneyland?
It's Disney World.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I'm having a good time with. I want one because I feel cheated because I had such a horrible pregnancy that I feel like I want another pregnancy that is just a breeze, you know?
Well, I mean, there's no guarantee that your pregnancy is going to be a breeze necessarily if you get pregnant again. I mean, that's
true, but,
you know.
You
just want to make sure that you and your husband are have harmony going forward, and that if you decide to get pregnant, that you, you know, you make it a mutual decision.
Yeah.
You know, not tricking him or, you know, anything like that. You don't want to start off a pregnancy and a life based on a dishonesty.
That's impossible, though. That's impossible, though. So that's not going to happen. In my case, at least.
Okay. Well, you know, try to convince him. I guess that's the best advice we can give. We're listening to a squirrel that is like talking outside our window, so we're a little distracted. Plus, we went a little bit over for you, Gunjan, because we got caught up with the other callers preceding you. But I don't know. Hopefully that helps.
Yeah. Okay. I guess just pray for me and, you know.
Well, we always do.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Take care.
Yeah, I work on it, Gunjan.
Okay.
Let us know. Give us a call and let us know how things go.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Okay. We are out of time. So we are back on the air on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Bye.